Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome once again to the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly pod of the strange, the weird, the true stories of yours. Or maybe your friends, if you haven't shared yours yet. I'm your rambly host, Adam Beebe. That's my specialty on this show. That and a sit here and look pretty, but I do have a face for podcasting. And with me is the not so rambly, but kind of rambly co-host of mine, my good buddy, my oldest friend in the world, the handsome one, the guy who has a personal stylist slash wife. Every time I see him, he's got a new part in his hair.
It's so true. It's,
over here is the guy who apparently reportedly sounds like Christian Slater. This is Barry Johnson.
Which I don't get at all, by the way. I don't get it all.
I don't know, man. I don't either. But that's just because I know you. You sound right. Like you to me.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's cold here, man, and freaking snowy. Well, not snowy. It's actually not snowy, man. So I'm your cold and wish I had more snow co-host. We were supposed to get all this snow, and it ended up, of course, just being nothing. Disappointing.
Which is odd because I believe down south of you,
yeah,
in Oklahoma City,
yeah.
They got snow. They got like four inches or so.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how it moved in because usually we get it first. Usually because most of the time it comes in from Colorado and sort of from the north.
Winds from the north.
Yeah, from the north. And so
my grandparents always said that for some reason. Well, I mean, I guess it was because the wind was coming
right,
from the north.
Right. But for whatever reason, this one kind of hit in a weird way where the south kind of got it more than we did. But you know, but anyway, even though that it wasn't that bad, the kids still got out of school, which I didn't understand. I'm like, you should be at school right now. There's nothing wrong with the roads,
dude. That it was like that when I lived in the South, man, North Carolina.
Yeah,
there are times where just the rumor of snow, they would cancel school. Right. Now, granted, in North Carolina, on the eastern part where I lived,
yeah,
snow wasn't a yearly thing, and it wasn't okay, very yeah, often, and people don't know how to drive out there.
Yeah.
On a regular day, just kidding. But people don't know how to drive during the snow because, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're not used to that kind, sure, of conditions.
Sure.
But like, man, growing up, you and I, man, I learned how to drive on ice,
right,
before,
yeah,
regular driving.
Yep.
Because my dad wanted to make sure that I knew how, and if, mm-hmm, anything happened,
yep,
you know, for whatever reason, like, you know,
yeah,
he wanted us to be able to know how to drive on ice,
right,
you know, pump the brakes and, yeah, all that.
Go into the school parking lot and slide around a little bit and figure, yeah, it out. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, and growing up, you didn't get out of school unless there was an inch of ice on the, yeah, road. Oh,
yeah, for sure. Do you remember some of my best memories of your dad pulling us in that sled behind behind the dually, you know,
yep,
behind his truck, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd go out to your farm and he would pull us around. We thought that was so fun, man.
It was fun. And it was also, I mean, it was kind of on the dangerous thing. He was probably going 5 miles, right, an hour.
It, you felt know, a hell of a, but, lot faster, man. I can, oh, tell you that much.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I can remember one year my dad and I, of course, out in the country, kind of out there, I think we ran off the road because we spun out of control. It was so snowy. We were on a, mm-hmm, dirt road, and I remember it just scared the hell out of me, man. I just remember the truck going round and round and round, and I was probably 5 or 6, so I'd never had, wow, anything like that happen to me, and I just remember being, yeah, like, oh my god, what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get that anymore?
Well, we don't get that amount of snow, it doesn't seem like.
Global warming.
Yeah, I mean,
I remember as a kid, it iced more often than it snowed, you,
yeah,
know, because,
yeah,
we would get excited about snow. Right. You could play in snow. You couldn't play in ice. You just slipped and slid around ice. Yeah. And I had to, I remember having to walk to school with ice on the ground and, you know, like, still had to go walk to school, you know, and it was probably like 4 or 5 blocks, you know, from where I lived, but still I had to walk to school.
Yep.
And one of my favorite things in middle school was I would wet my hair and comb it right before I left the house. And then I would walk to school and with the hopes that it would, like, you know, freeze my hair in the water and my hair on the way. And then I could go to my dad, because, you know, dad's teacher, I could go to him and be like, look, I, you know, pointed out how cold it was.
Guilt tripping. You know? That's awesome, man. That's hilarious. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of where we're at here. It's just kind of cold now. It's going to stay a little bit chilly, I think, for the next few days. So, but yeah, other than that, man, I'm just looking forward to this episode. We got such a killer, killer set of stories, man. Our guest, John, is just, it's I can't wait for people to hear this.
Yeah, this is good. This is really good. And the cherry on top of this Sunday is that we've got this amazing picture from his security camera.
Yeah.
Oh, but, well, I won't go any further. You'll just have to listen.
You'll
have to check out all the social media and everything for this afterwards or during the show.
It looks
Don't do it right now. Do it right now.
Right.
Wait a little bit.
It looks like a picture that you would see from like the scariest movie that you've seen. That's all I can say. So just wait.
Yeah. All right. So now don't look yet. Okay. Here we go. We're going to start it. And then once, you know, and when we get to that point, you'll know when to look when he starts talking about it. Then you look, don't look now.
Hang in there.
Yeah. I'm talking directly to you. Okay, here we go. John, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Ah, I like it. So, yeah, I met Barry's wife at a convention, and we just started talking about weird stuff that happens in your life. And you kind of get a little taken back first because you don't know if this person's really going to think you're weird by saying this stuff.
I can tell you, with my wife, nothing's too weird. She's married to me.
So. we started talking about, you know what, how we grew up and we started seeing stuff that happened in our lives and stuff. And then all of a sudden we got on the subject of Zach Bagans. And her face just lights up. And I was like, oh, we're going to be good friends now.
Yeah.
We're going to be real good friends.
Yeah.
We just started talking, and we talked about a couple stories that I've been through. And I actually have two stories, and they're actually completely two different topic. I mean, they're two different. They don't even connect at all.
Cool.
But the first one, I was growing up and I lived in Bangor, Maine. Mm-hmm. And we moved to a little town called Kennebunkport.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a big fisher town.
Right.
And we used to go out to the sea and kind of, we went starfish hunting. We go out to the coastline, and when it got real cold, you go over and turn the rocks over and you find like the starfish that are frozen to the bottom of the rock. Well, our house that we moved into was a little farmhouse, and it was neat because it was built in 1895, and it had a fireplace in every single one of the rooms.
Wow.
And the foundation was a little odd, and all wood floors. The floors were very skewed a little bit. But what we are told is that the captain used to house their shipmates in the house. It was like kind of like a hostel.
Okay.
And it was, people would stay there, and when they come out from sea, they come over and stay. But we lived there for about 2 years, and I was age of 8 to 9, I was about 10 years old when we moved out. And the thing, it was weird, is that the mantle on our fireplace had a lot of carvings in it. And we just couldn't read the carvings, but later we found out it was actually the shipmates that were actually carving their names in there.
Oh, wow.
Well, throughout the time that we lived there, there was all types of stuff that was happening that my parents were actually encountering, and I experienced as a kid, but I really couldn't piece it together until I was old enough I was about 16 years old, and my mom and dad sat me down and said, hey, we want to talk about the stuff that happened in Kennebunkport. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, what happened is that I would fall asleep, and I would hear footsteps up and down the wood floors, up and down the stairs. I'd hear running up and down the hallways. And the thought process of it when I was a kid is that, oh, it's my parents. Right. Well, they later told me that that wasn't them. That ended up happening throughout the time we lived there. Wow. Well, wow. I would come home from school, and I'd get home around 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it would happen probably 2 or 3 times a week that my bed would be on the other side of the room.
Whoa.
And I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I was a kid. I'm like, okay, it's just maybe my parents are just rearranging stuff. Right. Well, it started getting more intense to the point that my clothes would be everywhere, that the bathtub, we had an old-fashioned bathtub with the feet on it, and the bathtub would be rolling over with water by the time I would get home from work, from school.
Wow.
And my parents could never really tell me this because they didn't want to freak me out.
Right.
Well, wow. Like we ended up going and finding out that the history behind the house and how people have actually passed away in the house, and they used my room as the quote unquote like hospital room where people would pass away at.
Wow!
But
Lord, man.
I would come home from school, and it was a ritual for me. At least about 2 times a week, I would be picking up my clothes, and they'd just be strewn all about.
The bed moving and everything. You rationalize that as your folks doing it, but did you think your mom was going in there and just throwing your clothes around?
This is what my mom told me is that. She claimed that it was her, and she goes, I was in here, I was trying to find one of your clothes, I was running late, and I was just tossing stuff everywhere. So okay. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Right?
Yeah, because mom said it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I remember she sat me down, I was 16 years old, and she goes, hey, I want to go over the stuff that happened in Kennebunkport. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, you know, when you came home, your clothes would be all over the place. The bathtub would be running over the water. Your dresser would be on one end. Your bed would be on one end. And I go, yeah. She goes, we didn't do that. And I go, well, who did? And she goes, that's the thing, is that there was a lot of activity that happened in the house that we didn't tell you about because we didn't want to scare you. And I go, okay, that makes sense. Because what would happen is that we would sit there, watch TV. The lights would go off. And my parents would know the reason why they went off is because they were told by the historian is that there was a lot of shipmates that still roam that property. And they would cross through the house back and forth because there's a cemetery in the back.
Oh, my Lord.
They used the house as basically – the house was basically their home, right?
Right.
But we would hear people – we would hear men's voices talking, and I could describe it meaning that I thought my father was throwing his voice.
Right.
Because he would be next to me, but it would feel like – it would sound like he's talking in 3 rooms over, but it actually wasn't his voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's freaky, man.
That is.
And what happened is that the activity, they would end up moving – they would end up moving objects around the kitchen the most where my mom was. Mm-hmm. And of course I wasn't in the kitchen that much, but the objects would move around to get my mom's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mom at one point got really distraught about everything. And I remember the day is that she told me, she goes, do you remember when I broke down in the kitchen and I was crying and I was sobbing and your father came up and consoled me and go, yeah. She goes, is it because the activity was getting so intense that I couldn't take it anymore?
Oh, well, man.
When she started crying, the entire house started to smell like roses.
Whoa.
And I couldn't, my mom said, okay, we bought roses before and they were kind of putting it off saying that it was just something that we had during the day, but they felt bad. is what the historian said, is that they felt bad about making my mom cry. And they would still do these things, but whenever they would do these small little tricks, is what he would call it, is that my mom would kind of get a little upset because she didn't know what was going on in the house. And then all of a sudden, the whole house would smell like roses.
Wow.
Out of nowhere.
And oh, man. I've never heard anything like that. That is amazing.
And it was odd because the house had fireplaces in every single room. I had a fireplace in my room. And what the historian said is that it was haunted. I mean, they call it a haunting. It wasn't really, it wasn't a malicious haunting.
Right.
They would use the fireplaces to kind of go in between rooms, is what he said.
Okay.
And going back and forth. And you could hear the footsteps at night, which I thought was my parents. And I thought my parents got up at all times of the night.
Right.
But this would happen every night. And they said that, hey, listen, this is... Do you remember the footsteps and the running? And I go, yeah. I mean, I just felt that you guys were up a lot. And they go, we never left our room at that point.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord, dude. So you're thinking mom and dad are just up all night long, just roaming the hallways. and then to find out.
I asked them, I go, no, you guys are you know, you guys kept me up. And they go, John, that wasn't us. Wow. They go, and it makes sense. Because why would my mom and dad be running for one place in the middle of the night?
Right.
But they felt that I was not mature enough to actually tell that.
Yeah.
Right.
They did the right thing.
I think so. I think
We ended up leaving and going to Virginia, where our family lives.
Uh-huh.
We had the Christmas tree up, and my mom was so upset about the whole house. And I mean, we were there. It's just not the type of thing that you can just get up and move. Mm-hmm. Well, we ended up going to Christmas in Virginia, and then we came back and we had the tree up, and we walk in, and underneath the tree, there was three wooden cars, and they were like old antique cars, like you would make out of like a little craftsman would make. You could tell they were very old.
Mm-hmm.
But there's three of them, and you could tell they've been used, but they were sitting directly underneath the tree. And when we walked in, my parents said that was from them. But when they told me when I was 16 is that they have no idea where those cars came from.
Oh my God. I just got major chills, man.
So, and my mom says, I've never seen those cars before. And because I remember walking into the house, I mean, I'm 7 years old, and I see something underneath the tree, I'm going to get excited.
Yeah.
And their car.
Yeah.
So I walk in ahead of them. I never even, it never would even thought to me to turn around and look at my parents' reaction when I walk into the room. Mm-hmm. But they said that when they walked in and I started playing at the cars, they said that they were in complete shock of where they came from because they were not there when we left.
Oh, man.
Wow. So,
and I, you know what? And I wish I still have the cars.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Can you take a picture of them and send it to us?
Yeah, we would love to put those out there.
Oh, my God.
Because what happened is that when I came back, my parents, and then when I got older, they sit there and told me, they go, do you remember the cars that you got when we were in Maine? I'm like, yeah, I remember that. They go, we didn't have the heart to tell you that we didn't get you those because we knew that you wouldn't understand. And I was like, okay. I mean, and that's a little odd.
Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too. Because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world. And we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. we have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk and to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy because you're not.
So fast forward to today. Let's say this is last year. So my aunt, which is in Virginia, she was going through a rough patch, and she just has a lot of negative things that's been happened to her. And she has dementia, and she's just not all there. Well, I saw her at a funeral recently, and she came up and she handed me a picture, and there was no other pictures with it. It was just one picture. The picture was me in front of that house and just me. Mm-hmm. And I go, I couldn't really ask her why she was giving it. She goes, I just have to give you this picture. I have to get it out of my hands. And I go, okay, that's a little weird. Mm-hmm. So I accepted the picture.
Right.
And when I took it home, I started analyzing it, and I kind of looked at it. I'm like, this is just odd. So I noticed that there was a little face up in the window above me in front of the house. Well, my aunt said that ever since my uncle said that the aunt that gave me this photo said that ever since she gave me the photo, she started to feel a little bit better. And I thought that was a little odd. So I didn't put two and two together. So I had the photo in my bedroom, mm-hmm. and I put it right next to my nightstand. This is night one. I put it next to my nightstand, and you have those candles, mm-hmm. that you can light underneath, and then it kind of boils the wax up top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was dead center in the middle of the nightstand, and it fell off of the nightstand, and it was dead center. So, like, okay, maybe something happened, but mm-hmm. this is what the photo was.
Right.
So we moved stuff around. We didn't put two and two together. So we moved stuff around. We put the nightstand on my side, and it did it again. So this is a little weird. So I said, something has to do with this photo. There's right. something. I feel something is attached to this photo.
Yeah.
So I know that I can't destroy this photo. I don't want to burn it. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I ended up taking it in the backyard, and I put some water in a bowl, and I put the picture underneath of it. So when that happened that night, the circuit breaker where the pot was, it blew. And that's when I thought, okay, something's happened to this photo.
Yeah.
So photo is still outside of my backyard. It is now distorted, but it is now on the backside. It's out in our backyard. There's been things that's happened in the house since that I told Nikki, and I showed Nikki that photo. I think, did she show you that photo?
I don't think so. I'll ask her, man. I'll send it. Okay.
Well, we always feel that there's somebody watching us in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
now, did that start when you brought the photo home?
Yeah. So the photo that started when we brought the photo in the house. And we tend to feel like you have that uneasy feeling that somebody's mm-hmm. watching you. Well, we have ADT, the camera system.
Right.
We mm-hmm. have an infrared camera. Well, I remember waking up and felt this somebody just staring at me from the living room. Well, I woke up, there was nothing there. Well, I reviewed the camera the next morning, and you can see an apparition at the corner of the screen. And it's a woman, and it's a short hair woman, and it's not my wife. What makes it even better is that, so I was scooched towards my wife, towards the middle of the bed. We have a little dog that you could see in the photo is actually looking out at the apparition.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
And when my, so my wife ended up reviewing it too as well, but she didn't know that I caught that. And she go, and she called me, she goes, was there a woman in the house at this time? I go, that's what I've been meaning to talk to you about. So we don't know exactly what that is.
Whoa, man. Whoa.
Do you still have that as well, man?
I do have the photo. Yep, I can send you the photo. Yep.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Anything absolutely associated with it. Oh, man.
That's so crazy that your aunt said that she had to give it to you. And that, cause so probably you think she was experiencing something with that photo also? Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I started to put it together, and I have since yet to talk to her about it, and in terms of what she experienced in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But I know that her health has gotten better since that funeral, and it was a weird coincidence that she gave me this photo, and it wasn't anything that she, like, hey, I'm going to give you a group of photos.
Right.
She gave me just this one photo.
That is so wild, man. That is so wild.
Well, and here's the messed up part. So we live in a house now that we bought 3 years ago, and we have this situation where I was living in Maine.
Yeah.
And now I have this photo, but now we have another situation that's over top of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was our first Halloween.
Yeah.
This was after we ended up getting the picture from my aunt. It was our first Halloween, and a little kid walked up. He was wearing a Spider-Man's costume, walks up to me. He didn't ask for candy first. He goes, all the kids in the neighborhood think your house is haunted. And I go, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And his grandma in the back was goes, yep. Yep.
And I go, oh, God.
What on earth? And my next door neighbor, so I didn't get a chance to ask the kid why.
Right.
Why he thinks this and what all the kids are thinking. Because it threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
And this little kid comes up and stands, and all the kids in the neighborhood think your house is haunted. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks.
There's some candy.
Yeah. So I asked my next door neighbor, I go, hey, listen, this little kid came up and said this to me. And she goes, yeah, that makes sense. And I go, why does that make sense? And she goes, well, the tenants that lived there before, it was a father and a son, and she called them dirt balls.
Uh-huh.
And the kid would hang up in the upstairs bedroom. And I guess it was torn up, the whole house was torn up. But the kid would do rituals up in the spare bedroom.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Ooh.
And I sense when I used to sleep up there, and I don't sleep up there anymore. But I woke up, and they call what it's like sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Where you wake up, you're awake, but you can't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw this black fog over top of me, and the dogs won't go in this room.
Mm.
The cat won't go in this room. And now I will not go in this room.
Wow.
I don't blame either any of the three of you.
Yeah. And it was just a situation, because you move into this house and you just feel, when you go up into this room, you just feel an uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that happens throughout the house, but we do know that we can sense something up in that spare bedroom. And I don't know if it's locked to that spare bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm able to leave that room, but we definitely know there's something up there.
Is this an older home?
No, it was built in, I think 2010.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a newer home.
Wow.
So we had both of those. We had the situation with my main home, and then this one, it seems to kind of like it, maybe they're peeping both of each other at bay.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, or they're kind of making each other kind of happen a little bit more, you know, it could be that they're both turning up the volume.
Yeah. Right.
And my wife will they have the cabinets open, and there'd be like stuff that's moved and stuff we misplaced. And me, in knowing what you see on TV and you read about, you try to find the logical explanation
for it. Mm-hmm. Right.
But right. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah, sometimes you can't. Sometimes there is no logical explanation for it. That is wild, man. That is wild. I mean, Maine, I have this fascination with Maine. Like, my wife has a fascination with Savannah, Georgia. Like, I think, you know, because of Stephen King and just like, it's just like, there's just a thing about Maine. I'm just like, oh, it'd be nice to spend some time in Maine. You know, the history and the architecture and the... I've been up there one time, but it was dead winter. It was so cold, man. It was February. It was like, oh, just the most brutal cold. But I want to go back. I want to go back when it's nice, you know, like summertime, and check it out, explore a little bit. Because I just, I don't know, there's something about it that's kind of romantic to me. But that is just wild, man. The house and the history and the people that must have lived there, you know, those guys probably lived pretty hard lives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't live the most luxurious life. And it's when you look back on it and all the stuff that could have happened in 100 years in that house. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes,
that just scratching the surface of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that, and if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
Another situation. So I had an ex-girlfriend that was in a real bad relationship, and her ex-husband was over in the military. He was in Afghanistan. He had come back, and he had a lot of PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she would tell me about situations that happened at her house, and a lot of, she felt that it was a lot of negative energy that surrounded her and her little daughter. Her daughter was 2, and I remember sleeping down in the basement with her, and her little daughter was in the crib when we were dating, and her daughter was just about 2, so she was just enough to walk. But I remember that several times when I would look at the crib, that it looked like there was crow's wings being flapped underneath the crib. Like, it was like hundreds of them. It was like a sea. It was like a sea of crow's wings just flapping. And I thought it was odd. And she ended up telling me that she had a lot of negative things that would follow her from the house that she lived in California. Well, we were ended up sleeping one night, and it was probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up suddenly because I was on the edge of the bed, and she was closer to the wall, and then the crib was across the room. Well, I woke up, and suddenly her little girl was standing next to the bed. Somehow, some way, she got out of the crib. And she was standing next to me, in the, and it terrified me.
Yeah, as well it should, I think. Yeah.
No kidding.
And I woke up her, and I go, hey, she's up. And she goes, oh, goodness. She later told me that she goes, yes, she does that a lot. And I go, how on earth does she get out of the crib? And she goes, I don't know. It's something that I don't really know how it happens.
Wow.
And it's a little girl. I mean, it's not like she can just crawl out of the crib and just start walking over.
Right.
And her to sit there and stare at me, I was done.
Oh,
done.
Man.
Done. Oh, yeah, man. That's crazy. Wow.
Going back to how you describe the crib with the wings underneath, can you elaborate a little bit more on that? I'm confused, but I'm also like a little, I don't know. Can you give us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So when you're in a dark room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitch black, and then your eyes suddenly start to adjust to the actual shapes, mm-hmm. objects around there. Well, I remember at the corner of my eye, I could see this. It was black underneath her crib, but then it was like they were flailing out of the bottom or out of the top of it. And I thought it looked like the motion of like a bird on the ground and
flat
this, but there was a lot of them, and it was just this mass. And at the top of it, it was like these. It was flapping like this. And I can only describe it as a bunch of birds in one big mass, and they were flapping their wings over. And I asked her about it. She goes, yeah, I've seen something like that before. And I go, what do you think it is? She goes, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of negative things that happened to them in the other house that she felt followed her over to... And like her husband would be very abusive to her, and he would snap like that. Like he would literally be happy and all of a sudden completely change his demeanor and get really dark place.
Wow.
Oh, man. You hear that too about, you know, hauntings and stuff. Sometimes that stuff creeps in that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild, man. Now with your folks, do your folks have any weird stuff that is carried over from the main house, other than the stories that they have and stuff? Have they had anything that sort of like continues to be weird?
So the stuff that would happen after we moved out of the house, my mom and dad didn't really talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
They told me the story that happened, and after that, they didn't really talk about it. And when my whole family, my mom's side, knew of the house and exit had on the house, and my aunts would bring it up, and you could just tell that my mom and dad didn't really want to talk about it.
Right.
And they have since passed, so I didn't really get a chance to, like, dive into it.
I got you.
But
right.
You could feel when you start talking about that house, they were really uneasy about talking.
Well, it's pretty amazing that they came to you and leveled with you about what was going on, you know, because talking about that kind of stuff isn't easy to talk about. But the fact that they waited till you were like 16 is a good age, you know, to where you're not going to be freaked out so much, you know, but telling you what had happened is like, you know, that's got to be tough, you know, because it's like you grew up sort of in this idea that you just lived in a messy room because your mom liked to come in and go through your stuff. But
and that your parents played games in the hall while you were trying to sleep.
Yeah. But then you're like, what in the world, man? I mean, that's so wild. The roses thing is just, it just blows my mind. The whole the whole house smelling like roses, man.
Yeah.
Just wow. That is amazing.
We've heard a few things about like a whiff or something, a small kind of a hint at a smell, but nothing like where it just like floods the house.
So it was wild. It was so thick, and so my dad used to give my mom roses like for anniversaries, and that was my mom's favorite flower. And I, of course, they probably would overhear stuff like that. But it was there. It was there. From what the historians said, it was their way of apologizing for what they
were. Right.
And they were just kind of trying to get my mom's attention, and like they would, she said that they would walk, or the whatever it was would walk around the house, and you have the screen doors, right? And if the way our house was laid out, it was in a field, so there's a lot of wind gust at times.
Yeah.
And when I would thought about it is that when the door, screen door would slam shut, it was just the wind. But my mom later told me, she goes, none of the screen doors that you heard that were slammed was because of the wind. It was because they were trying to get into the house, is what she said.
Wow. How close to the ocean was the house?
So Kennebunkport, it was pretty close. It wasn't on the water.
Okay.
But it was pretty close. Yeah. I don't know off. I know we could drive there. We drove there.
I was just curious.
Do you think, or do you know, that if this whole experience is ultimately what led to you moving, or was it just, you know, that?
Oh, from Maine?
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom and dad told me that was the sole purpose why we moved.
Really?
Yeah, that was the whole reason we moved.
To me, that seems like there was more going on that they did not tell you about.
Yep.
There, you know, because, you know, with your mom breaking down, of course, you know, I mean, that's obvious, but like, there's probably more that. Wow.
Is that house still standing, John?
So, that's a question. So, I ended up trying to look through and find the address on it, and I've yet to find the address. What's funny is that I tried to find the house 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see if it was on Google Maps, right? Yeah. And you can go in and find the old addresses where you've lived and where your parents have lived. And we've lived all over. We lived in South Carolina, North Carolina, Ohio, Maine, Virginia. And we've lived in probably, I'd say, 10 different houses. That house, for some reason, is not on the record of any of them. So there's a gap.
Wow.
So. And now that could be just that it wasn't it was just a flux of maybe the data, but I can't find the address. I know it's in Kennebunkport. I just don't know the house number. And I know I can visually see the street. So you kind of go on and see if you can kind of work your way out.
Yeah.
Can't find it.
Wow.
So I'm still searching though. If I do, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah. Let me know. Cause if I ever get up there, I want to go see it.
That's the thing. They said that there's a lot of stuff that happens just in that little area because there was a lot of tragic events.
I bet.
That these sailors would come in and they would pass on in these houses because it's a hard life.
Yeah, that's what struck me is that's like you got all these people that are coming through. They're working really, really long, difficult hours. They're working a really, really difficult job. They're seeing a lot of death, I'm sure. Especially because if the house was built, would you say 1895?
1895.
I mean, my goodness, man. I mean, that was certainly not a time when medicine was at its peak. And, you know, dealing with the elements and living up there in the winter times is the reason why you had the fireplaces in every room because you had to because you'd freeze otherwise. You know, that is, man. Crazy stuff, man.
It's fascinating to know that when you're in that environment, but you really don't know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
You were in the environment. You all these stuff that you start thinking back. Okay, well, why did this happen? Was this actually really an occurrence, or was this something that was not my mom and dad?
Right. Right.
So you start trying to look back on things and kind of think, is this really real? Is that what happened?
Did you have friends that would ever come over and stay the night or anything like that with you? Was there any kind of, was there anybody else outside of your initial family that would come into the house and tell you that they felt like it was weird or?
So my two cousins ends up coming up 1 year, while we were up there. And my mom said that I have a smaller cousin. His name's Tyler. My mom said that Tyler would not sleep in the house for whatever reason. Now they slept in a hotel. And now Tyler was young at the time, and I've since asked Tyler about it, and he doesn't remember any of it. But my mom said that Tyler would not sleep in the house. He would throw panic attacks in terms he would not even step foot in the house. And what's weird is that my mom said that she got a lot of the small movement stuff and cabinets opening. My dad got a different direction of it, meaning that he felt that he was not wanted in the house.
Right.
And
right.
I can understand that because there's a bunch of men in the house and there's a woman.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
Golly, man. That's wild. That is wild, man.
Yeah.
You know, we have people on, they tell these stories and that, you know, when you're telling these stories, I'm trying to picture like what would my reaction be? And I just don't know. I think I would have freaked out, man. I don't think I'd be so calm about it. I've never had a haunting or been, you know, in a situation where I saw a ghost or anything like that, you know, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So the haunted picture, the haunted photograph that your aunt gave you, is that the house that was haunted?
Yes, that was the exact house.
Wow.
Yeah. So, we made a point to keep the picture outside instead of inside. And it felt when we put the photo outside, there was a lot of stuff happening towards the back of the house. The dogs would bark outside. They would only bark out the back door. They don't go anywhere near where the actual photo is.
Mm-hmm.
They won't pee on it. They won't do nothing. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I sell the house, because I don't know if I'm going to keep the photo there. That's yet to be determined. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing with the photo.
You might need to figure a different solution out for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you guys suggest?
God, dude!
I'm curious. Like, so how did you arrive to, not dispose of it, but to treat it the way you have, where you took it outside and you put it under glass or water or something?
No, I put it under water. I actually learned that from Zach.
Okay.
He had something that was cursed, and it was one of those things is like that you don't want to disrupt it. You don't really want to destroy it in an equal manner. So it's okay. What can we do to dispose of it, but not really disrupt it in terms of that? So I put it out and I put it underneath a pot of water. And so far it seems like it's doing its job, but I haven't touched it since.
Do you think burying it would do anything?
I
don't know.
I'm leery of touching it again. That's the problem.
Right. No, I understand that.
Right.
Yeah, because it's obviously tainted with something. So or something's attached to it that seemed to be. I don't know. Because everybody's going to have a different answer on how to approach that.
Yeah.
You know, some people will say, burn it to hell. But, you know, that's maybe the worst idea because that may somehow release more energy or who knows. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For some reason, intuitively, I was like, give it, a burial or something like that. And like, you know, just say, hey, hopefully, you know, get some rest or whatever. I don't know. You know, just some kind of like that because, I have no. I am ghost blind. I think I just don't have any kind of, perception on that level. I'm not tuned into that frequency, and I'm perfectly fine with that, as I've said before. But
that's one thing. That's one thing that I'm hoping that we are able to garner more attention from people that know more about doing things like this, how to rid their. We've had a lot of people talk about how they had their homes that are haunted. There are, evil sort of like entities that they've been in touch with. And, we've talked to people that are empaths and,
you know, have their own investigation teams and things like that. But as far as how to deal with these things and get rid of them, we need more. We need more information. We need more people that know.
Yeah, if anybody's got ideas out there.
Yeah, come on. You know.
Yeah.
Send an email.
Yeah.
Or message on the social media. So
this is one case that you definitely probably want to treat the right way for sure.
That's what
it sounds like.
And it was, and we, I went to a medium. She's a really well-known medium in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I went to connect with my parents. And but at the end of the appointment, I asked her, I go, so do you see anything negative attached to me? And she goes, no. And she goes, that's the first thing that I look at when I, when somebody's walking up to my door, I look out my people and I can sense if something negative. And I was like, I'll take that answer.
That's good.
That's good.
Yep. And this is while you were in possession of the picture also?
It, but the picture is still outside.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay.
Right. This was after it was outside.
Okay. Good. Good.
Okay.
Good. Yep. Okay.
Well, that seems to be good. I mean, it's still an anchor up to something, but at least it's not inside, and that's
right.
That's a good idea. Right.
Crazy.
And all, the with the have you has the ghost woman the as you know has she come back?
No, have you seen her? I haven't felt that since.
Okay.
And that's the thing is that I don't know if it's. If it's what is tied to the house or if it was really tied to the picture. But the feeling that I got that night was not a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm in my own house. I mean, I'm in my own house, my own bed. And when you feel that you're an adult, I'm 37 years old.
Yeah.
And when you feel that you're not comfortable in your own bed, that's a little odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a feeling you want.
Yeah. And I go through things like a skeptic because I'm very, I love the thought of just the unknown. So you always have to put stuff out and say, nah, it's not that. I mean, that's explainable. That's something that is not what I think it is. But when you have that feeling, you have to take that intuition and really, and kind of say, maybe something's not right.
Right. For sure.
Especially considering all the experiences that you've had, you know, your intuition with that kind of thing, that seems to be, you know, an educated, more than a highly educated guess, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, John, thank you, man. Do you have anything else, man?
Nah, I think that's it. I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Course.
I think this was fantastic. I'll send you guys that photo. I'll go home and I'll try and find that car where I have it.
Yeah.
And I'll send you that cars.
Okay.
And I'll send you a photo of the girl we found.
Okay.
Too. Yes. Yes.
We have
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
One more before we go.
Yeah.
How clearly can you see, you know, I see, you said that she had a, you know, bobbed hair and you knew it was a girl. How clearly could you see her?
Oh, it's really clear. You can see the short hair. You can see the clothing that she's wearing. It was so clear that my wife thought I was cheating on her because she thought there was in the room.
Wow.
That's great. Well, you know, it's great in hindsight. And,
you can see we have our back porch light on and you can see the dog in there because we have a king size bed, but her and I sleep on the far left. So you can't see us. But you can clearly see our little dog looking out where I thought the whatever was staring at me.
Wow. Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy, man.
I'll send that to you guys.
So cool. Yeah. Yeah, brother. Yeah. Anytime you got some more stories, man, we got an open door policy. Just come back anytime. Yeah. Just let us know and we'll get you on, man.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, I should go out and take that picture out and see if I can get any activity.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, we'll do part two.
Yeah. Go taunt it. Do like Zach. Go taunt it and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. No, all right. Definitely don't. Be careful, man. Be careful. Well, cool, brother. Well, thank you again, man, for coming on. It's nice to meet you, man.
Yes,
nice to meet you guys too. And I look forward. I'm going to start joining this. I'm going to start listening to podcasts, man.
Cool.
If you guys hear anything I should do with this photo? Shoot me a text, email, and I'll gladly.
Awesome. Will do.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience and we can have more friends, we can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
First of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife for putting us in contact with John, because she was the one that, you know, sort of connected the dots and made us made it happen. So thank you for that, babe. And I mean, I just can't get over the house that he grew up in Maine. There's something, I said this in the podcast, but something about that setting and that story. Oh my gosh, man. It makes my skin crawl, man.
Yeah, man. The so much of that is so, so good because like as a little kid, you probably would think your parents were just messing around and walking around and being loud, you know?
Right.
And
why would you think any different?
Right, exactly. And his parents telling him, you know, whatever, covering, you know, his mom saying that it was her that was messing up the room and then that it was all that stuff. And which is, that's great that they did that to make, you know, to save him from being scared. But at the same time, man, the roses.
Yeah.
The roses and the toy cars, man.
I know.
Wow.
We've heard some stories about flowers and things that, you know, that involve those types of things in stories before, but I don't think I've ever heard that idea where it's like such an overwhelming sense that comes into the air. Whole
place.
Yeah. That's intense, man.
Yeah.
Is intense.
And as a response to upsetting his mother.
But, right.
Wow.
That is crazy, man.
Wow. Okay, now I hope everybody has by now looked, because I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
But the
picture.
When he sent us that image, like I expected something from the way he described it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting what we did see as much as what we saw. Like it is super detailed. It is super like it is not like hazy. It is like spot on the back of some woman's head and shoulder torso area.
Yeah, it's clear.
And it's clear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so freaky. When you sent that to me, it stopped me. I had to sit there and just look at that thing and take it in for, you know, a few seconds. I'm like, "Wow, that's freaking powerful, man. That is
Yeah, dude.
That is pretty heavy stuff." He got the picture from his aunt with the old house in it, and then the weird stuff began happening. Or he noticed a little bit of a rise in weird things going on.
Yeah, man. And of course the occult practices going on before he lived at that place. And that's a new house. Man, like I'm looking at it again, dude, and it's like I mean, you can see folds in the clothes and you can see like a bra strap or something
clear as
you can see. Oh my gosh, man. And that's going to be up on our social media because everybody's already looked at it already. But man, I'm telling you, dude, like if that's not a ghost, a clear picture of a ghost, somebody's living in his house and coming out, you know, while they're sleeping.
Right.
You know, and I mean, like, and think of, and his then girlfriend, now wife, I guess, thought that he was having an affair, or maybe they should have never married her, but thought that he was having an affair because it was so clear because she's not, that's not her, that's not her hair.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I think anybody would think that.
Either way.
So freaky. So freaky, man.
If it's a ghost, it's freaky. If it's a human, a real person.
Yeah.
That's also very freaky.
Yeah.
Because that means somebody's moving around their house.
Right.
at night.
Yeah.
You know, somebody like living in their walls or something like that.
Right. Yeah, it is bizarre. I mean, I guess when you live with a ghost, you kind of got to accept the fact that you are just living with another person that comes and goes at their whim because you have no control over it. I mean, you know, sometimes I guess people try to assert themselves and, you know, let their boundaries be known. But I mean, for the most part, you'd be up for whatever this entity, this thing wants to do. The more that we do these stories and the more stories like this we get, it's just a fascinating concept to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's great.
John, thanks for taking the time to get together with us.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing, and those were fantastic. And, you know, hopefully putting it behind the house will keep everything at bay. If anybody out there listening has a good suggestion for him to what he should do with that photograph to keep the bad stuff away or to get rid of it or whatever in a proper way, not to, you know, bring more bad juju or whatever you want to call it, yeah, let us know so we can pass that along to Jod and hopefully he can get that sorted out.
Yeah, please.
Wow.
Please, yeah. But yeah, man, great stuff. Hopefully he'll come back with more information and
yes,
we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's a good point to wrap it all up, put a bow on it for this week. And thanks for everybody for listening. Join us next week. We have got, Barry, dude. Next week is Robert.
Oh man, Robert is you guys are gonna love Robert.
Yeah, Robert's awesome. Robert has this is one of my favorite stories, and I don't know if I should say that, but this is it's one of my favorites because it's definitely unique.
Definitely,
we have not heard anything
definitely.
Like this.
Definitely, takes place in a foreign country. It's weird. It's interesting, and he does a great job telling the story.
Yeah, yeah, and also he used to be in a really awesome metal band.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that too.
Absolutely.
So, all right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time here on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.